My guest today is Jill Lublin. She's an international speaker on the topics of radical influence, publicity, networking, kindness, and referrals. She's the author of 4 best-selling books, including Get Noticed, Get Referrals, and co-author of Guerrilla Publicity and Networking Magic. Her latest book, Prophet of Kindness, is published by Career Press. She's a master strategist on how to position your business for more profitability and more visibility in the marketplace. She is CEO of a strategic consulting firm and has over 20 years experience working with over 100,000 people, plus national and international media. She teaches publicity crash courses as both live events and live webinars and consults and speaks all over the world. Well, welcome, Jill. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be with you, Gail.
Thank you. And of course, Jill and I have known each other for longer than we want to say, but I know how successful she's been. And it seems like this book, The Prophet of Kindness, is a little different tangent for you. So I'm just wondering how you decided to write this.
Well, it is a different tangent. I think more than ever, we need kindness. And how I decided to write it was my incredible 82-year-old friend who I've known probably for 25 years. And, you know, she's getting older. There's some issues, and I've been helping her a lot. And she said to me one day, you know, you're so kind, and I wish more people were kind. She goes, as I've gotten older, I've noticed people have been helping me as much, as friendly, et cetera. And, you know, it's just some things that she was dealing with. And she goes, wouldn't it be great if we had a new currency, the currency of kindness? And you know, when somebody says something and you just are sparked, well, that was my spark. And I think particularly it was my spark for taking a new twist in my life too and putting out a different kind of book that's more about kindness. It's still a business book. It still helps not only business people, but everyone be more kind. But certainly, I think that this is the time. It just felt like the right time to have this be an important next book.
It's interesting because I'm the healthcare surrogate for a 94-year-old, and she just sent me a card that I got, as a matter of fact, the beginning of this week, saying how much she appreciated how kind I've been to her and that I've the care that I've given her and that kind of thing. So I guess as we age, we all become more aware of what other people do for us. But you also talk about the 7 pathways to kindness. What are they?
Well, you know, people talk about ROI, return on investment, and I want people to also have ROCs, return on kindness.
Ah,
and
okay.
So, isn't that fun? And yeah. So I do have a 7-fold pathway to it, and they include words like compassion, flexibility, patience, positivity, generosity, gratitude, and connection. All of those lead to return on kindness. Any one of them is important, and every one of them practiced in tandem will create, you know, better happiness. We found, Gail, in researching the book for Prophet of Kindness, that people who are more kind, and that includes all these traits, or even some of them, are usually more happy, more productive, they make more money, they have more friends, they're just happier in life, period, at all levels. So that was really interesting. And same thing with companies. Companies who are more kind to their employees also experience the same thing. And as I've been consulting with companies, helping their teams be more kind, I'm finding so much issues in the workplace of unkindness. So that's just something I think that's been really important to stress, is that now more than ever, companies need it and people need it.
Well, I agree with you, and I was listening to all those words you were saying, and I'm pretty good at all of them except patience. I find that sometimes when things don't, it's not that they don't go the way I want, it's just that sometimes I think people just do silly, or shall I say stupid things, or things don't, you know, if somebody says, I'm going to return your call in X number of minutes, and it takes 3 days, or whatever it is, my patience is, I think, my worst tendency of all of the 7 that you mentioned. The other 6 I do pretty well with. But how You know, you mentioned.
Can I just tell you something on that?
Yeah.
If I may, you are not alone. In fact, it was so interesting when I was writing the book, the chapter on patience in particular. You know how it is. Everything in life comes up to test. Oh, let's see how patient you are, you know. And so I just want to stress that this is not about being superhuman. This, we are humans. We get our patience tested. People say upsetting things. I'm not saying roll over and just take it all. I'm saying, you know, have good boundaries. Be consciously kind, though. And that means, you know, a lot of people talk about practicing random acts of kindness. And I think it's important to practice conscious acts of kindness. But that also means, you know, if somebody's being inappropriate or not keeping their word with you, or, you know, not doing what they say they're going to do, I think it's appropriate to say, you know, here's what's needed. And it's being firm but respectful. And I think that therein lies the difference.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. You know, you said that you believe that kindness helps business. And I'm just wondering how you think companies are using kindness to grow their business, or if you saw some exceptional examples of that when you were doing your research.
Well, here's an exceptional example. Panera Bread, and they're featured in Profit of Kindness. Panera Bread, the company, was called in, at their store in New Hampshire, and a minimum wage employee, I might add, not even manager, not any of that, was asked if she could provide clam chowder for this person's sick grandmother. Now, this person's sick grandmother was like on the verge of dying and said, I want some Panera clam chowder, right? It's kind of like one of those, this is, you want to make someone like that happy. And it was Tuesday and the employee said, you know, I'm really sorry. We don't make our clam chowder until Friday. That's the day it's made. And the young man told her the story. Well, she went and she made up a batch of clam chowder specifically for this grandmother, and specifically on a Tuesday when they weren't supposed to do it. So is that kind? Yes. Now, you think that was good for business? That company got 250,000 hits on their website looking at this story. It went viral. Was that good for Panera? And I'm still talking about it. And that happened a few years ago. Is that good for Panera? Of course kindness serves companies. And what I'm seeing and what we found in the research in Profit of Kindness is companies that were acting more kindly, like McDonald's, of all places, was doing a Paying It With Loving campaign where they accepted hugs as payment for their food. That was a specific campaign they did. Kleenex has done an ongoing campaign around giving and kindness. Honda, I'm noticing commercials now that they've done a whole giving campaign, kindness campaign. It has hit the mainstream, and major companies are on the bandwagon because they know that in today's world, this is what's more important. Touching people's hearts, moving them to action, and, you know, generating more kindness in the world. They know that it works, and that, frankly, it's returning profit and the customers to them.
So let's take this. I don't want to get political here, but, you know, we are in a new administration, and we are a divided nation in many respects. How do you bring back kindness to a divided nation?
Yeah, and as we know, it's a big problem, and there's a lot of concern about what do we need now. And I think, you know, we don't have to be in agreement. That's what I'm looking for. We don't have to be in agreement, but respect is the new kindness. So that means that people's views can be different than yours. But respect is important. And certainly with the problems in the election and the divisiveness, and still continuing, I might add, that, you know, the best remedy will be kindness now. It's the appreciation of different cultures and different points of views, different ways, and to speak up when something doesn't feel right to you, isn't kind. And that's important. You know, I'm part of a text campaign called Call It Out. And if I see hateful actions, I text a number and they go viral with it. You know, so there's things to do. And I think that we need to start, all of us, taking actions that are more kind. That's why I talk about a conscious act of kindness every day. Do something that is more kind, that creates a better feeling in the world rather than what we are being left with right now. And I think that's certainly an important piece to do on a daily basis, no matter what business you're in, no matter, you know, working mom or PTA kid, or, you know, I think teaching your children this, that's really important.
Well, I happen to agree with you. As a matter of fact, I was at an event this weekend, and one of the people there said, "You have so much gratitude, Gail. You just are so grateful for everything, and that has so much energy to it." And I never really thought about it. You know, it's just that I enjoy most things that I do, and I enjoy most people that I meet. But how do you fuel teamwork with kindness? Because, again, if you've got, let's say, millennials and boomers and Gen Xers all on the same team, and you're from different backgrounds and different economic situations, how do you get people to work together as a team with kindness?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that is an interesting thing about different cultures and companies. And talking kindly across the borders. Funny enough, millennials really appreciate the kindness. And I think there's certain different styles of leadership that just don't work anymore. Interestingly enough, again, through research in For Profit of Kindness, we found companies who are consistently kind, who allow flexibility with their employees, compassionate care, that if something's happening in their life, that they are allowed to, you know, deal with it more or less, that productivity goes up, that happiness goes up, that customer care is increased and the customers feel it. I mean, you can tell, we can all tell when we go to a place of business and people aren't happy versus those that are. You know, when I fly Southwest Airlines, and I fly many airlines for consulting and speaking, and guess what? When I fly Southwest, and one time when I was on my way to a consulting assignment and I got sick, and well, you know, as opposed to, you know, "I'm sorry, Miss Lubin, that'll be $150 to change you to tomorrow's flight, plus the price of the ticket and all that fun stuff," they said, "You know, we understand you're an A-lister with us, and, you know, we know you give us a lot of business. We're going to make an exception this time. We're just going to put you on the flight tomorrow. No charge, no anything," right? Now, how wonderful is that? Do you think I'm, you know, certainly, and I am a loyal customer to Southwest Airlines versus some of the other airlines, which, you know, respond and react differently, even in times of crisis or emergency or different things. That's what I'm noticing as a frequent traveler, particularly in the airline industry, in the hospitality industry, hotels, you know, how do they treat you when you walk in? Are they willing to support you? Is there a feeling of how may I help you versus, you know, well, you know, here's your key, good night kind of thing. And I mean, here's just, if I may, a great example of this. When I was in Las Vegas arriving for a speaking engagement, it was midnight. I had a consulting engagement all that day. It was late. I had traveled, you know, I was a little tired, and I arrived to my hotel, and guess what? They did not have my reservation for Friday night. They had it for Saturday night because I was staying three nights. And frankly, we're completely sold out. Now, funny enough, I couldn't in all of Las Vegas find a hotel that was, you know, shall I say, affordable enough. Or at least answering their phone after midnight, interestingly enough. I found out something new, Gail, that hotels don't answer their phone after midnight because, you know, their reservations are for the next day, including booking sites and all kinds of fun things. So there I am in Las Vegas. One would think this would not be so difficult. And I finally find a hotel that is at least, you know, in the $200 range versus some crazy other amount. And I say, okay, yes, fine. And I arrive to the Marriott Renaissance, and she looks at me and she goes, "Now, by the way, it's now 2 a.m, you know, 2 hours have passed trying to handle all this." And she looks at me and she says, "You know, honey, it looks like you've had a bit of a rough night. I'm going to drop the rate to, you know, like, let's do $129. How's that sound?" I thought, that sounds fabulous. And she goes, and then the next morning I woke up and I called down because it was such a wonderful place. I had such a great experience. And I said, "I'd like to stay 2 other nights. You know, we honor the rate." "Yes, sure, Miss Lublin, no problem." But what they started the phone and how they answered the phone was this: "It's a delight to serve you, Miss Lublin. How may I help you?" Mm. Now, I have to tell you, isn't that beautiful? And Gail, after such a tough travel night, after only 4 hours of sleep because I had to get up and do another engagement, you would, you know, how does that feel? That feels great. Am I going to stay at the Marriott Renaissance in Las Vegas as often as I can? Absolutely. Am I talking about them now? Absolutely. That's the kind of kindness. That was one woman who noticed something, who said, I'm going to help you, and made a decision because that was the kind and right thing to do. That's good business.
And of course, there's a couple of things that come up for me when you talked about this, Jill. Number one, why didn't the other hotel make those phone calls for you? Because I have had that happen, exactly what happened to you. And even then, even when I've been guaranteed that I'm arriving, you know, that night, but for some reason or another, they gave my room away, but they have called other hotels for me. The other thing is, I'm surprised that you didn't get an extra charge from the other hotel for canceling them for the other two nights. I mean, those things have happened to me, so I'm just amazed, you know. So
yes, and can I tell you, I actually did. I did get charged from the other hotel.
Oh, you did?
And absolutely, and I had to call the general manager, and I had to tell them what happened. I had to go through the whole story. And he said, to his credit, I'll make an exception and I'll take it off. But the truth is, that wasn't their, you know, they have a quote-unquote booking policy. And you're right, I was outside of the limit of that, but considering the circumstance, he made an exception. So that was great.
Now, the other thing I want to ask you is, because I'm sure there are people who are listening to this show, you know, it's living regret-free, so how do you live a happy, happy life? And some people think, well, if I'm kind to people all the time, I'll be considered weak. So where do you stand on that?
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting about how kindness is perceived as weakness. Because again, and remembering in the first part of the interview, I'm not saying to be weak. I say be strong, have good boundaries, know what you need, and ask for it, and ask for it kindly. That's a good thing. But, you know, it's not about weakness. It's about having, you might be considered to have a good heart. Wow, what a great thing for people to say about you. You know, that's a beautiful thing. And sometimes some people may think, oh yeah, you know, she's so kind, I can do whatever I want. And, you know, they may think that, but I find that if you're kind, that you can also be strong. You can be, you can have good boundaries. You can say what's needed in the moment. And still always, by the way, do it kindly. But you can also, when people are reacting, or you're even feeling reactive, I think we all have, we feel reactive, we feel, like you said, impatient. And so what I particularly try to do then, and I say try, I'm not perfect either, is to be as kind as I can in the moment. And to watch my reactions, because I think reactivity is where kindness can go out the window. You know?
Well, I agree with you, and that's one of the things that I was going to ask you about. How do you expand the spheres of influence by being kind?
Well, I think when you're kind, people talk about you. They spread the word, you know. I've noticed even with the book, Prophet of Kindness, I'm tapping into some people that maybe I haven't talked to in a long time. And they're like, of course, I'm so glad to help you. You've always been kind to me, or good to me, or helpful to me. And so they're happy to help, you know, even if it's 3 years since we haven't talked, or, you know, things like that. So that's how you expand your sphere of influence, that people remember, people talk about you, hopefully always good. And even if it's not, then, you know, you do your best to rectify it or to help the situation. But I think that that's part of what happens when you're kind, is that the circles get bigger and bigger and bigger, and that people are talking about you. As I like to say when I teach publicity, I like to call it the I've heard of her somewhere syndrome, right? That people are talking about you in a good way and spreading the word.
So how do you do this? I mean, how do you communicate in kinder ways? I mean, people, I'm sure, don't set out to be miserable. And I'm sure they don't set out to give you misery. And I'm sure they don't set out to have a terrible day. But things happen in the course of the day and people become frustrated. So how do you communicate in kinder ways?
Well, a couple things. One is slow it down. You know, I find that if I am feeling a reaction to something, I will not make the call or send the email or send the text back in that moment. because that's not the right moment. That's, you know, that's not the right moment to respond or react if I am feeling any of those things. So that's one thing. Two is, like I said earlier, I want you to practice conscious acts of kindness. So if a day has passed and I'm like, whoops, I wasn't kind today, or I didn't extend myself in some way, I will do something. I'll send an email. I'll write a quick, how about handwritten notes? Remember, those are fun. People enjoy those. And I will just take a moment and do something. So I think really also, you know, being aware of your environment, like what's happening around you. Does somebody need help, you know, that's getting on a bus, or that has a baby stroller, you know, and loaded down? Particularly those women, I love to help, because, you know, they got four arms going on. They should be an octopus. And, you know, then there's the door to open, right? So
I think the biggest hint that you've given, Jill, is to just almost count to 10. I mean, cool down before you say anything, or you send back a return email, or and I think that's what I'm talking about when I mentioned patience before too, because when somebody sends you something in the email, or if you have somebody say something to you, there is that ability wanting to react. So that's where I think patience really comes into play. But I want to have everybody know how to get in touch with you and the best way to reach you and find the book and so forth. So give us all the parameters around that.
You know, parameters around which
how to reach you and how to find the book.
Yes, thank you. So what you do is go to profitofkindness.com, and that'll lead you right into the book. Also, of course, all at your local bookstores is great. Please go ask for it, Profit of Kindness. And also, if you'd like to reach me, go to support@jilllublin.com. Lots of L's in there. support@jilllublin.com. And we'll help you any way we can with whatever you need for getting yourself out in the world.
So that's Jill, J-I-L-L, Lublin, L-U-B-L-I-N.com. And that's support@jilllublin.com. Now, we have a couple of minutes left, just about two. What else would you like our audience to know, Jill?
Well, thank you. You know, I think what I'd like to do as you're reading the book, you know, pick one of the words, whatever it is, generosity, flexibility, patience, and practice that just a bit more. You know, I just loved it as I was writing each chapter, how in that moment I really had to reflect on that in my own life. Where was I practicing it? Where could I improve? You know, what was needed more? And I think if we stay aware and awake every day to what can we do that would make us more kind and more effective in the world, I have found that the kindness will always make you more happy, more wealthy, more full of people to serve. And coming from a place of being kinder, it is the new way. And companies are doing it, and I frankly think everyone listening should look for ways to do it too, in their business and in their life.
Well, I can tell you, as someone who knows Jill pretty well, that she does epitomize kindness, and she does try to help as many people as she possibly can. So I'm not sure how much of a stretch it was for her to write this book, because she's a natural at this. But again, if you want to reach her, it's support@jilllublin, that's JILLLUBLIN.com. And if you want to get the book, go to profitofkindness.com, profitofkindness.com, and that will take you to the book. And if you go to a bookstore, ask them for it. And if they don't have it, tell them to order it for you, because that way they'll know that it's something that you really want, and it brings you back into the bookstore for them. So all ways to help them and help you and help Jill. And I just want to say thank you so much for being with us today, Jill, and good luck with this book.
Thank you, Gail, and thank you so much for having me.